much time do you think you spend on your phone?
Way too much.
Yeah, I mean, we all do, right?
Yeah.
Phone, iPad, in front of a computer screen.
I'll be sometimes in front of two screens at once. I'll be watching TV and on my phone.
Oh, all the time.
Yeah.
There's a term for that. It's called, no, there really is.
I have no idea what it is.
I think it's like multi-screen consumption or something. There's like a TV term for it. I mean, we're always, we're telling Alexa to do things for us. We're listening to podcasts. I feel a little hypocritical talking about that right now. But, I mean, the bottom line is we're as glued to our devices as we've ever been. It's estimated that half of us are addicted to one of these behaviors.
Half seems kind of low.
Doesn't it? I mean, it seems super conservative. So today we're going to talk about how addicted we are to our screens. And I'm going to, spoiler alert, we're not going to solve anything today.
Well, I mean, we could take on world hunger. That might be a little easier.
That might be easier at this point. We have our first repeat guest, tech expert Jennifer Jolly, is one of the country's top tech experts, tech journalists. She's the brains behind techish.com. She's a columnist for the New York Times. She's very fancy. She writes for USA Today. She's on the Today Show all the time. And if you want to go back and hear about her background, which is super fascinating, go listen to episode 6. But today we're going to talk about why it's not an accident that we cannot pull ourselves away from our smartphones and social media. We'll talk to her about what she's learned over the years of covering this industry, how she's been trying to change her own habits, and why it's probably time for us to tune in to tuning out a little bit. Sound pretty good?
Sounds good to me.
Here's my theory. My theory is that when my kids, who are now 13 and 10, are our age or adults, my age, why don't I put it that? they're going to look back at this time in society and say, I can't believe you guys exposed us to what you did.
It's going to be like the smoking.
It's going to be like how I looked at my parents and said, I can't believe you used to ask me to go get the carton of cigarettes for you. But I really, from the bottom of my heart, believe that we're going to look back and say, man, I can't believe we did this to ourselves. After you listen to this podcast, of course, we're totally good with that.
The irony is going to be this is going to be probably our most listened to podcast.
It might
That's
be.
That's my prediction.
It might be. We're talking screens with one of our favorites, Jennifer Jolly. I'm Deirdre Fitzpatrick, and I am obsessed with knowing how people do things. They write the book, they start the company, they go from idea to reality. I call it the art of the follow-through, and I want to know how people go from A to B. This is the Dying to Ask podcast. Hi, Jennifer Jolly.
Hello.
Thanks for coming back. You're our first repeat guest on Dying to Ask.
So it was about a year ago, probably
quite,
almost to the day.
But it was, you were episode 6, wow. And we're now up to like mid-30s, so that's a big deal.
This one, I think, is officially 33.
That's exciting.
Just like my age.
Yes,
guys are laughing awfully hard at that.
So we're going to talk, Jennifer Jolly, you know, tech expert. You have been in the tech industry for how long now?
I mean, really since the dawn of time.
Since Pong came out.
Flip phones, pagers. I've been tech specific for about 10 years now.
Okay, and we're going to talk lots about tech and what it's doing to us. But first, and Jeff's going to hate this because I can transition to this at the drop of a hat. Let's talk running.
Oh, yes, please.
For a second, I thought we were going to talk about books.
Which books and running, yes.
Oprah's latest book.
Oh, I know. Good stuff.
I opened up the worms.
Yeah.
Sorry. Crawling all over. No, this is actually a follow-up to episode 6, because you were talking back then about how you really wanted to do a 50K. And so I texted Jennifer. I said, hey, I'm doing one this date. Here's the link, sign up. And she did. And so you did run your first 50K with us in February.
I never would have done that without your encouragement and your guidance
Nagging.
And your friendship. And no, it's all about setting a goal and meeting the goal. And I didn't want to embarrass myself totally. I mean, I did not know I could do that. I had been a runner in my younger years, in my 30s, which were a long time ago now. And had taken about, 11 years in between off to work too much and be a mom and to do all the things, you know, that I couldn't really do because I couldn't stick with running because I just felt like I didn't have the time. But then my body started falling apart. And running made the back pain go away, made the foot pain go away, made the mental issues go away.
I was gonna say, the stress went away.
And you really taught me that you don't have to try to win every, you just go out there and you have fun and you just exist and you it was just a magical experience.
It was a great day.
Wait,
but she's under. Let me tell you what really happened, Jeff. So Jennifer comes in, and I have this group of girls that I run with at these things, and we go out and it's a party. Like we have a really good time, and so Jennifer comes and like fits right into the group right away, and we all ride the bus out in the morning, and we go, and one of the women I run with, Heather, is really really an experienced trail runner. Like she's done Western States a number of times. Heather can get you. She can talk you through anything. So we're going, and Jennifer's kind of ahead of us and like super energetic, and we're at like mile 11. So Heather goes, "Think I ought to rein her in yet?" And I'm like, "I don't know. I mean, she's having a good time." And Heather goes, she goes, "She'll rein herself in. Let's give it a couple of miles."
Yeah.
And she goes, "Well," she goes, "she's good." She goes, "But if she gets much farther," she goes, "I'll try to pull her back a little bit. I want this to be positive." Well, we go a few more miles, and like, there's no sign of Jennifer. But she's not, like, pulling out or anything, so I'm like, I guess she's good. Jennifer beat us to the finish line. She had a great race, and about midway through, we found out that she had been training. Now, we don't train. We just go and suffer for the day, have a great time. But we found out she had taken it super seriously. She had a legit trainer. Yeah. She followed a training plan for this thing.
To be honest, not well. But
no, she
did. I didn't follow the training plan well.
She did amazing, yeah. And my group of girls loved her, even though she did break the rule of training, and I can't wait to do another one of these with you again.
I mean, who goes out and can run 50K without training?
Well, you know.
That's exactly my thought. Who's like,
Deirdre Fitzpatrick.
Just tomorrow, whatever.
It's one day.
Can I just tell you, I was so naturally high. I was singing. I was talking nonstop.
True.
And I knew Deirdre and Heather and all of her friends would kill me. They would have thrown me off the side of the trail. I was annoying myself.
Well, that's when we thought something was wrong, but apparently
so
it was nothing but right. Okay, well, anyway, enough running talk,
amazing.
But I just want to say how proud I was of you for doing that. We've known each other for a long time, and it was really great.
And when are we doing our next one?
Let's do something this summer.
Okay, yes.
Because we need to put our phones down as we transition back to why we're here, and we need to have that little bit of a break. And so I wanted to talk to you about, there's a lot of new research that's coming out about smartphones and technology and how much we are on these devices and what it's doing to us. And I just feel like I'm more and more I'm getting worried about it. And I say that as somebody who, you know, I have two phones within 6 inches of me here, a work and a personal phone. I know where it is at all times. I'm wearing a smartwatch. We obviously are recording this. And you're listening to this podcast probably on a device. So I guess I should be careful how much I tell you to put it down. But I really wanted to talk to you about where are we going with this and what some of your thoughts are on that.
I think a lot of us are experiencing burnout. A lot of us are feeling like, oh, I just can't post to the various social media channels as much. I'm totally burnt out on social media.
Why
right
do you
now.
Think it is now? Because I do feel like I'm hearing a lot more people saying that. What is it about where we are right now in 2019?
Well, you think about the timing. We're 3 or so years into it. It was really exciting at first. And a lot of us went into it cautiously, then got totally addicted and sucked in. And now we're experiencing that fatigue, that new flashy, shiny thing fatigue. It has taken up a lot of our free time.
Mm-hmm.
And many, many people in the Silicon Valley, people who invented this technology, are needing a break. They're needing time out. They're needing to be away from their devices over the weekend. So it's not just us.
Mm-hmm.
And it is seemingly all of us. If you haven't experienced it yet, you will.
Okay. So let me start off by talking about, there's a book called Irresistible. It's by a guy named Adam Alter. And what he did is he looked at addictive technology across the board, and he really researched the business of why we feel so hooked on stuff. So
there be a book.
There is.
There's always a
always
book, my friend.
A book, yeah. Jeff, as well there should be. Okay, so the book starts off, and it takes you back to January of 2010 and Steve Jobs unveiling the iPad. And that was the really famous moment, and I'm sure you've seen this clip a million
there.
Times. You were there?
I was there.
So he gets up there in his little black mock neck, he makes the thing with saying, like, what this thing does is extraordinary. It offers the best way to browse the web, way better than a laptop, better than the smartphone. And then he goes on to tell you how, like, everyone in the world is going to have an iPad.
Yes.
And sure enough, we all did. The thing that he didn't tell you at that event was that his kids were not allowed to use one.
Exactly.
And what Adam Alter goes into in this book is that if you go to the heads of many of these big tech companies, their children weren't allowed to use the products that they were saying that the rest of us needed to have. And what was the reason for that, Jennifer?
Because they knew from the insider perspective that they were building technology that is built from the ground up to be addictive.
And it's basically tapping into the same part of the brain that, you know, back decades ago, that reward part of the brain. So, you know, back when you heard of big tobacco figuring out ways to lure kids in, it was tapping into that same thing. So what, for example, like on a phone, what is it that makes you keep on swiping?
It can be everything from the colors of the apps to instant reward, instant gratification for posting something and seeing that instant feedback. Words that can flash up on the screen are often psychologically driven words. Colors is a big one. I know a couple of years ago I wrote about just changing the mode of your phone to black and white usually turns you off from using it as much.
So the white is more...
Black and white takes that in the reward center of your brain, it dials down how much joy you get, your brain gets from seeing those various colors.
Wow.
Yeah, it's that basic. It starts with the colors, and then it goes to the wording, and then it goes to maybe games. You know, you think about something like Candy Crush, you know, and you just want to get to that next level. You just want to get to that next level. Or Instagram, it's beautiful photos, and you want that life. You aspire to that life. Psychologically, this is all built around our human wants, needs, and weaknesses.
And so, I mean, obviously, every product, you want people to buy your product. Has this always been in your world when you've gone to, like, these big, you know, demos and openings for new products? Is it something that's really obvious, something that's hidden? Is it something that people talk about? And do you find that they're talking about it more?
We are all talking about it much more today than we were 5 years ago. It is not always obvious. The part of the genius of Steve Jobs was that he spoke he was so influential in his speaking. He would drop in the words, "the beautiful." We made screens so beautiful you want to lick them. You know?
I mean, that's so creepy.
That's a direct quote. And it's funny.
I would never lick my screen.
But you kind of want to. You know what's funny is I'm testing out a new vacuum cleaner right now, and I was using it. It's a vacuum, just, you know, handheld vacuum. And I thought, man, is it possible to fall in love with a vacuum?
Do I want to, like, lick this vacuum?
It's kind of like I put on a pair of shoes the other day and I thought, I want to wear these shoes to bed. You know, but it is, you know, I'm not answering your question very well, but is it obvious? No, it's not obvious if they do their jobs well.
Mm-hmm.
Are we all talking about it? Yes. I mean, one of the best articles I've read on this topic is how to unbreak. Do not disturb. How I ditched my phone and unbroke my brain.
And who wrote that?
This is Kevin Roos, New York Times. Kevin Roos. He wrote it back in February of 2019. It's much like it feels like an addiction, but unlike alcohol or opioids, phones aren't an addictive substance. So. Much as like a species, he goes on to say, so much as a species level environmental shock. We might someday evolve to correct biological hardware to live in harmony with portable supercomputers that satisfy our every need and connect us to infinite amounts of stimulation. But for most of us, it hasn't happened yet.
It's interesting.
And he had to hire a psychologist whose job is to unaddict you. Deprogram you from this addiction to your gadgets to actually get him weaned off of it.
Which is interesting because he is a tech reporter.
Yes.
And so to me, that really shows you, you know, for people who you can have all the information, but you still can't pull yourself away from the donut because you're not supposed to have the sugar.
Well, and I'm loving talking about Kevin, but I've experienced this. So I used to feel like I was amazing at multitasking. I can't now I can't multitask to save my life. That's a whole other topic. My eyes are exhausted by 5 or 6 p.m. every day. My brain has slowed down. I'm not as creative. I'm having a much more difficult time writing, you know, than I used to. And it really has made such a big difference in how well my brain works. Plus, I wake up And if my phone, if say I left my phone in the car overnight, I panic a little bit. You know, if I don't have that phone and I feel like, oh, well, I need it to keep in touch with my husband and my daughter and somebody. Well, it is so freeing to not have that need on an inanimate object.
Funny as we talk about it. I mean, the obvious thing is we'll put the phone down, people. Duh. But it's not that easy. It's really not.
How many of you take the phone to the dinner table and your kids are begging you to put it down, not the other way around? You know, I can't tell you how many times my own daughter said, I mean, we made it very clear, no tech at the dinner table. Dinner is family time. We put everything away. This is our time to talk to each other. But say I was on a deadline and it's the New York Times. I got, you know, it's so important. And I was, oh, babe, I got to grab this. The look of disappointment when your child looks at you and they're disappointed in you.
Yeah, but there's also the flip of when they look at you and they go, did you get that shot? You know, they also like to get that as well. We're going to take a quick time out. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the World Health Organization has come out with some pretty jarring guidelines for parents on how much access little kids should have to it. And then we'll talk about what people in Silicon Valley are now doing to try to get away from the technology that they created and that they're making a lot of money off of. Yeah. We'll be back with more Dying to Ask right after this. Hashtag need a favor. Would you take a minute and screen grab this episode? Let us know what stuck out for you. Tag it in my Instagram stories at RunReadSip. It is a great way to let your friends know about Dying to Ask and help us grow this show. Here's what gets me about this. We're all smart people. We should be able to say this is not good for us and put some limits on it. But it's not that easy.
No. I've been showing off little safes that you can lock your phones in for the last 5 years. I mean, that started 5 years ago because we don't have the power to just say no. We never have and we never will.
Yeah, which is disappointing as a species. Yeah. That it's like that. You know, the funny thing is that, you know, we look to Silicon Valley that created all these things that we can't get enough of, but now we're turning to Silicon Valley to try to wean us off of it. So there are a million apps out there to tell you how much you're on your phone that will shock you if you actually try them. And now we're like hearing of solutions coming out from, you know, people in the tech industry of what they're doing to try to pull back a little. What's working?
What's working is locking your phone in a safe. What's working is leaving it behind and going to unplugged camp.
Wow, we're paying someone to take it away from us.
I mean, that's the thing. I was with someone, a futurist, about 2 years ago who said...
What is a futurist?
A futurist is somebody who predicts the future based
on... Like a fortune teller?
But scientific.
Oh.
It's used in business all the time. A futurist, you know, looks at trends in the automotive industry and tries to predict where things are headed. And one of the big things to come out of just the state of technology was then and is now that people who can afford to unplug will. But it's like many things, people, there will be a segment, kind of that middle class population, who can't afford to unplug. So we're seeing that with tech titans.
Fascinating.
Right? So tech titans can afford to pay somebody to take their phone away or pay somebody to go to an island where they have zero Wi-Fi. They can afford to unplug. Many of us feel that we can't.
Well, many of us feel like if we don't answer that email that comes in from the boss, that our job might be at risk.
So this is really interesting because I have really put my foot down. Like, no, it's after this time, I'm not going to answer. It's, you know, before this time, even though I'm guilty of it, I text and email people at all hours of the day. But my daughter will say, Mom, you got to text, you got to answer, you got to answer, you got to answer. And no, I don't. And that's a little bit of a difference, you know, between that generation and me, where I'm like, I'll get to them when I get to them. But I know that a lot of the younger, she's 18, and a lot of that age and really that sort of Gen Z age, millennials, do feel the pressure to answer right away. And that wears you out.
Right. Your daughter's 18, so she would have been 9, 10 when, like, the iPad and iPhone and all that stuff was really coming out. So she, in that time of, like, having a little bit more independence, has really experienced it. How do her friends view all of that? Are they tied to a phone at all times?
She and her friends, while, yes, tied to a phone, are very... I just keep thinking of what your husband said one time. You know, we live in Oakland. It's like Wokeland. They're just woke. They're really aware of and have grown up in the time of turmoil about too much connection. She's seen me be too connected. She's lost out on dinner table conversations because the boss texts me at night. So she's actually been a really good guide and force for me that way. She's also been my guinea pig since day one. I've tried every teen tech, child tech, every gadget that's come out to help me limit what she's doing or watch what she's doing. And so she's grown up with that. She's also grown up with a dozen new gadgets showing up at our house every week for me to review. So she's kind of gone the other way. You know, I think if I had restricted and really restricted tech and said no tech and no this, no that, it might be different.
There were some new guidelines that came out from the World Health Organization about younger kids especially and how much screen time is good and how much it's not. And they're kind of shocking. Like for kids under the age of one, it was zero. So nothing on at all. It should all be interaction. Kids two and under, it was like no more than an hour, which Jeff is like a Sesame Street. It's not a lot. It's like two Paw Patrols and you're out, right?
Paw Patrol's that long?
It's like 30 minutes, isn't it? Yeah, it's about a 30-minute show. Okay. And then, you know, for kids who are, you know, school age up to teens, it was no more than about 2 hours. So, okay, that sounds like a decent amount, but here's a reality check. Common Sense Media estimates that kids aged 8 to 12 are spending 6 hours a day.
Yeah.
6 hours. Teenagers try 9. And I don't know if you guys have, like, done a thing on your phone to find out how much time you've been on. We're all doing a lot, too, and probably a lot more because we're doing the multitasking like you were talking about.
Right. What I know, having raised a child in this era, is that there are no exact hard and fast rules. But when you look at your child and they have that kind of slack-jawed, you know, it's like their eyes glaze over and you can't break their concentration from that screen, that's enough. I've seen kids who are allowed zero screen time, and they're like the kids who are sneaking it everywhere they possibly can. One commercial comes on a screen that they're walking by, and they are just sucked in immediately. It is worth everyone's time and energy to figure out what the right amount of time is for you and your children. If it impacts your life, if it impacts your sleep. So one really hard and fast rule in my house, no phones in the bedroom.
None
whatsoever. Now at 18, I mean, she's 18. She does use it as an alarm clock now. And she's fine. She limits herself. What's the game? She keeps downloading and then she'll erase it like the same day because she gets sucked in too much. But what I've noticed is they tend not to pick up the phone and call each other. They'll text. Although now they're doing a lot more FaceTime, so that's nice.
Or Marco Polo, you know that one?
No,
it's like texting with video.
Yes.
Yeah.
So they do. Yeah, Snapchat, sending each other messages that way. There's a lot of good in the technology that they have at their fingertips. There's also a lot of negative. And one of the things I noticed, too, when she was growing up is she would be doing something. And she'd say, Mom, come do this with me. Mom, come look. It is always worth your time to put whatever you're doing down and go engage with them. And I think that's a big point to make to everybody. If your kids are into tech, no matter what their age, be in it with them. And then also make sure that you both put your tech away. So as a mom, you put your phone down and you're with them in the real world too.
I just think it's interesting that, you know, so much of our conversations are about, we got to get our kids off of this stuff. We got to do this. But the reality is that are these studies that have come out. Like there was one in the New York Times just a week ago. It said 4 out of 10 kids said they think their parents are addicted. And my rule of thumb on surveys like that is always up it, because I don't think people are entirely honest with you. Like if you say, are you addicted? Of course not. I'm not the kind of person who would do that. Yeah, you are.
I could stop if I wanted to.
I could stop any moment.
How many parents I see texting while they're driving with their kids in the car, or they're in line at the grocery store and their kid's having a full-on meltdown and they're ignoring them on their phone, or at airports. I fly a lot. I travel a lot. I see that at airports all the time. you know, or they'll be out to dinner and they'll just hand their smartphone off to a 2-year-old to entertain them while they're at dinner. Now, I'm not trying to mom shame.
Yeah.
You know, we all need a break every now and again, but be aware of how much you're doing that.
And like you said, there's a lot of really good stuff out there too. I mean, how many extra interactions have you made, or friends you've made, or information you've been able to learn because you do have that kind of access to things.
But know that the tech titans themselves limit their kids.
I get back to that and I get irritated about it.
Yeah, low-tech parenting. It's been a quiet staple among Silicon Valley moguls for years.
So what are they doing? Yeah. How are they living?
They restrict access to technology. Now, the minute your kids get into middle school, especially high school, they're using their laptops in school all the time. They even use smartphones in school sometimes. So you have no control over that. They definitely need access to a screen. But, you know, when you start adding up the television, the YouTube, all of those things, it does add up really fast. And I think as a modern parent, you have to be aware of that. You have to.
And then also the impact it's having on you.
Yeah.
As well. Okay. Let's take another time out. And then when we come back, I want to know an action plan on how you can pull yourself back from tech while still meeting all your family obligations and work obligations. And considering that all three of us are saying we're like so full of all of it right now, so tired of it, it's going to be interesting to see if we can actually come up with an action plan between the three of us. But we'll work on it.
I think we can do it.
We'll find out.
And keep listening to this podcast on your device. We'll have more right after this. 22 what? As we record this, that's how many Democrats are in the race now to unseat the Republican president, Donald Trump, as president. 22!
Wow.
Our Hearst Television Commitment 2020 coverage extends to the podcast world this year with WMUR-TV's The Trail. Host Adam Sexton interviews all the big names as they make their way through the battleground that is New Hampshire. Check out The Trail wherever you get your podcasts. All right, so how do we fix this?
Well, our parents worried we watched too much TV. Mm-hmm. Before that, it was radio. I'm not sure what it was before that. But we were always, as parents, worried about something.
Books.
Too much reading is ruining your brain.
The gramophone. And you do bring up a good point. Every generation, we've got something that we think is, you know, killing our kids or ourselves.
Yes. But that said, this is much more addictive and much more dramatic than, you know, you could only watch so many hours of television, and then you'd get the static and the American flag. Remember those days?
I do. I don't think Jeff has any idea what we're talking
about. No.
TV used to go to bed.
What?
Yes, no. In the middle of the night.
What about reruns? Didn't have anything to rerun?
No, it stopped because
static or the American flag and the national anthem.
And that was how the night ended. And then it would come back on again in the morning.
It's very patriotic.
Well, there is that.
I've talked to several CEOs at tech companies, the makers of the phones, the Google, the, you know, Facebook, and they don't want to put a kill switch on it because they don't want to say you can or cannot do something. You know,
well,
Americans
don't
like that.
Well, they don't want to say we've done something bad to you either.
Right.
Right?
They're trying to skirt around it with giving us the screen time notifications and things like that, but I think it might take a kill switch. It might take opting in to my phone is dead for at least 8 hours when I'm supposed to be asleep. And there are tips and tricks to do that with your home Wi-Fi, and then mm-hmm. there are gadgets that you can buy that help you do that with your kids. But I want to read this auto reply that I got when I emailed a tech CEO just the other day. He's the CEO of a smart luggage company. This guy is making a lot of money. He's very important.
He has great luggage.
And his auto reply says, Let me apologize if you don't get an immediate response. My phone may be turned off. I may be walking and looking up instead of down. If you're curious and this is a workday, feel free to call my office. I may be in a meeting or my device is on timeout. In any event, I'm trying to be less distractible, more deliberative, and more mindful. I'm hoping this will make us all more productive. If you need me and this is urgent or timely, please call my office or my cell. If this is a weekend or an evening and this is not urgent, let's talk during the week. If this is personal, call me, find me, see me. Let's talk, not text. Let's try this. You guys, that actually gives me the chills. Yeah. I love that so much.
The thing that sticks out to me is call my office, and he has the option to have someone else take his call for him.
Yes.
Yeah.
We don't all have that.
We don't all have that option, but I totally get where you're going on that. And that kind of gets it back to what you were talking about in the first part of the podcast about, you know, the CEOs, the tech titans, the ones who have the resources have the ability to say, huh, I can turn it off for a while. So what
because
is the,
someone else is doing that up for me.
So let's talk on a practical sense. Like what are things that we know actually work for people who really need to pull back from this?
What I know has worked for me is I go to Alaska every summer. That's where I grew up. That's where my family's from. And we go to these family cabins of ours, and there is no Wi-Fi there. It's not possible. And my uncle was talking about getting something put in, and we all said, no. It's really scary for the first 3 days. And then after that, it's like you've come home to yourself. My mind, my brain fires up in a way that it doesn't the rest of the year. So I think you have to build in tech breaks. Some people call it a tech Sabbath, and they do it one or two days every week. Some people do it 1 or 2 hours every day. But the CEO of Twitter, the smartest, most intelligent human beings I know, all have one thing in common, and that is they spend at least 1 hour, if not more, every single day completely unplugged.
Interesting.
Your brain just can't keep up with the pace of technology. We're not wired to work that way. And I am so much less productive when I've constantly have those distractions around me. I get my most work done when I'm flying on a plane across the country because I finally get to sit still for a while and don't have the phone ringing off the hook.
It seems to me we have to get ourselves addicted to what used to just be normal.
Downtime. Stillness.
Mm-hmm. Quiet.
We have to recharge our batteries. Why don't we think of our brains that way? You know, everything runs out of juice eventually, including our ability to think straight. And it doesn't surprise me that we're going through this, and it doesn't surprise me that a lot of people in Silicon Valley know this.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. It isn't often I'm quiet on this podcast, but yeah, you're right.
So, Deirdre, you and I, we can run more.
See, it got back to running, Jeff.
We can read more books.
Full circle.
We can run more.
But you have to choose it. You have a good story about one of your last camping trips.
Yeah. So last summer we went camping with a group of people, and one of the guys that came with us, he was kind of upset that we had reception. I mean, we always try to choose a different place every year. He's like, next year, choose somewhere that won't have cell reception. I don't want to be able to have the option. Like, I want to put it away and know it's not going to work even if I wanted to turn it on again. Mm-hmm. That was super interesting to me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's, you know how they always say that, you know, nobody on their deathbed says, I wish I would have worked more. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think it's interesting that your kids never tell you, wasn't it great that one time we played Fortnite? They never talk about that. But if you say, remember that day we went out and we caught lizards on the river?
Yeah.
And like, it was maybe like a 10-minute episode. And that kind of stands out. It's just, we have a lot of life going by, mm-hmm. and I feel like we're missing a lot of it right
now. There have been so many studies, even if you don't take a picture of something, you remember it so much better. Mm-hmm. Just not trying to capture every second mm-hmm. of every day. And this is all reminding me, too, that there are some people on the autism spectrum or Asperger's spectrum who technology has been a lifeline.
Huge.
Many, many people. People who are lonely, who are, you know, have some social anxiety. And that's important to provide that tool. But like anything else, learn and then honor some sort of being able to rein yourself in when you need to.
You know what I think? I think the person who really figures this out is going to make a lot of money.
Well, there's a lot of people trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. So
we should do that.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think that those unplugged camps are, that's where all the people who have enough money to go that's what they're doing. Mm-hmm. So how do we do that on a daily basis for us and our friends? What's the DIY version of that?
Yeah. Right.
And how does the person who maybe not have a 9-to-5 job, someone who freelances and who their income is based on, do I have another gig?
And being responsive.
Will this be another gig? This next phone call?
I live that way. Yeah. I'm a freelancer. I get that. Totally get that. Yeah. And yeah, it's funny because typically when I do unplug, I come back to good news. Mm. I don't obsess as much about that next job. The next job always comes. It always happens, whether I'm stressing out about it or not. You know?
So have we figured any? Usually on these podcasts, we figure something out. Have we figured it out?
I think we figured out that our brains are broken because mm-hmm. we're too sucked into our gadgets all the time.
The CEOs are going to really fun summer camp where they don't have to play on their phones.
Yeah, so why don't we do that too?
On a smaller
level. And I feel like it's not as hard as we make it with our phones, just because there are options. So Julie has her phone set up to where at a certain time of day, apps shut off. Specific mm-hmm. apps that mm-hmm. she has chosen just stop working. And there's timers on all of them too, where if she uses like Instagram too much, they'll be like, all right, you have 5 minutes left on Instagram.
Really?
And then it'll shut off.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
Julie's his wife, and she is going through, where is she in school now?
She's got like a year left. She's doing counseling, basically. Yeah. Yeah.
She's super smart.
She's so smart.
She's so smart.
So yes, download those apps. Use technology to save you from technology. I have a little gadget in front of me right now called Circle, and this helps you manage your family's time online. So it filters the online content. It restricts usage, puts a pause and bedtime in. If you're not doing anything else, take screens out of your kids' rooms between the hours of 9 and 7 a.m. No screens in the rooms. And then do that for yourself. And if you need to get there's inexpensive safes. You can lock them in at night and put a timer on. And unless you have a really good sledgehammer, you can't break into them. Just try it. Just even 20 minutes a day less.
Well, and I think then you have to be really honest with yourself. Do I feel different? And chances are the answer is going to be yes. Now, at first, it'll be awful.
Yeah.
It will be that. But then after that, you may find that it's something different. And maybe that gives you a little bit better a sense of control. But it is interesting, Jen. We are definitely in a weird time right now because I feel like so many people around us are talking about how they don't feel in control of something that they paid a lot of money for that should be bringing some sort of joy or diversion.
And it did at first. It really, really did. But we are in that, okay, now we have to live with it. The shiny, new, fancy thing is wearing on us a little. And I just looked up the Freedom app. That might be what Julie uses.
I think it's just built into her iOS.
In Moment. Okay, so yeah. So it's built
it's,
into
it's
the platform.
It's part of the screen time rollout that Apple did.
Oh, right. I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Which is a bit of a bummer because then they did away with a lot of these third-party apps.
Yeah.
Second or third-party apps to help you manage your screen time. Writers, as a writer, I know there's ways to turn off the internet while you're writing because you still need to be able to pop over and Google something and pop back in. But I'm so into this topic. And, you know, we have to use social media to help each other out with it and discuss it and keep discussing it. But let's make our 20 minutes on Facebook be about that. And let's keep the discussion going, see what other parents are doing and what other people are doing. And definitely know that, you know, it starts with us and we have to do something.
So in those moments of using your screen time wisely, what's a good way to keep up with Jennifer Jolly these days?
You can always pop by Tekish, TECHISH.com. That's where I don't always do a very good job. I try to post kind of what I'm doing, what I'm working on, what I'm thinking about. Instagram, Jen Jolly on Instagram. Twitter, Facebook. I have, this past year, I have done a terrible job on social media. Because I have too many other things. I was out running 50Ks with Deirdre.
No, it's because you were training for them that you didn't have time. And then if you want to check out the book that I mentioned earlier in the show, it's called Irresistible, and it's by Adam Alter, The Rise of Addictive Technology and the Business of Keeping Us Hooked.
Oh, I'll post some notes about this discussion.
I would love it, and we'll share it on social as well. And if you guys have figured out something that's really working for you, we'd love to hear it too. I mean, like little things. We're in this together. Let's figure out a way to manage
it
better.
Meatless Mondays. Can there be like cell phone free
Tech Free Tuesday.
Tech Free Tuesday.
There you go.
Let's get on that. That's actually not a bad idea.
Hashtag Tech Free Tuesday.
Tech Free Tuesday.
I love that. I'm in.
I like it. All right. Well, while you are, again, using your social media wisely, you can keep up with the show on Instagram at Dying to Ask Podcast. You'll find me at Run, Read, Sip, and Jeff.
At Producer Jeff.
All right. Thanks for joining us today.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
All right. We'll see you next time on Dying to Ask. And let's go running.
Yes, please. Now?
More running, less Wi-Fi.
Have fun. I'll stay here.
Yeah, I bet.